And it's amazing, Heidi and I didn't talk about song choices or anything like that, but how the universe does show up in ways that we don't anticipate. And that song is basically, my talk title is about the genius of the ant. And the thing is with that, our main idea today is about that we believe in one mind. And our statement of belief declares, we believe in the universal spirit, which is God, and it operates through the universal mind, which is the law of God. And that we are surrounded by this creative mind, which receives the direct impress of our thought and acts upon it. So isn't that what that song was just all about? The om, the hum, the humming of the earth, that vibration. And then Jill set up perfectly with our meditation about that compassionate heart, about what it means to be there. So what does that mean, though, to be one with the one and to we believe in that? It means that there is a paradox that we're looking at and that we see the world in that way, in the totality and the aspect of this one. So that means that all the problems, challenges, and polarities, the either-or thinking, suffering, and ways that the world isn't currently working, that also must be an aspect of the one. And sometimes, you know what? I'm challenged by that. I'm challenged by that belief that those things that I judge as wrong, incorrect, happening out there are part of that aspect of the one. How can that too be good? And yet that is what this teaching is. And that is the genius of the ant. So we may be looking at it and saying, this is horrible, this is that, this is so-and-so, and what is ours to do? And what else can we change? And how can we look at something differently? So embracing the ant. There's also the paradox of our spirituality. I mean, spirituality is a full, just what I was talking about is that we'll talk sometimes about the masculine and feminine energy consciousness, living in this world, living outside of the world, the inner work, the outer work, that landscape. So we see that as a manifestation of our belief systems. So the Chinese symbol of the yin and the yang is a wonderful symbol representing the genius of the ant. Now, Tu, can you put up that slide for me, if you don't mind? Thank you. As we're talking about it, I thought it's good to show it as a reminder of what it looks like. Because we also have to think about this symbol. It's a snapshot in the world. It's a snapshot of time where the light and the dark are stagnant. But in reality, it is always moving. There is a flow, almost like the infinity symbol, with this thing, and you can, with this symbol, as you can see it moving in and out. Thanks, Tu, I appreciate that. You can also think of the Mobius strip, right? That one, that infinity symbol that moves around all the time. So it's the mixing of the light and the dark together. This is represented also with that, there's that small piece of dark and light in each of the sides, that little dot. So spirituality has been calling us to find that third way, that and to let go of the either or thinking that is, and look into the possibility and step into something new. So I don't know about you, but I can totally get stuck in that either or, that tyranny of that or of, well, it's either gonna be this or that. It can only be black or white. It can only be good or bad. It can only be this and that. And yet really, that's not the truth. There's always another way to look at things. So it's how do I step into that? How do I question what it is to move through those that being stuck sometimes? I find you know, as a, it's when I tap into that spiritual practice of deep listening, or I tap into the spiritual practice of prayer, meditation, and visioning. It opens up and it allows another way to be seen. And sometimes in visioning, I'll see something like an image of some sort, and I'll be like, what does that mean? And it might not hit me right away, but sure enough, down the road, something will show up. And I don't know if everybody was here, some people weren't here last week, but I talked about having that abundance consciousness, and that sometimes it's just not about the money in the bank, about the abundance, it's those small gifts that we get. So along my little travels, again, last night I was out and I told everybody I had this conversation about abundance and looking at things different ways. So I got gifted a free lunch by a random stranger. Last night, by a random stranger, I got gifted another, okay, this is really a strange one, but anyways, he overheard that I was from White Rock, and he was from White Rock, and so he bought me a shot, which we were out for dinner. Me and my husband was with us. It was totally fine. It wasn't anything weird. But it was a shot of whiskey, and then you had to chase it with a shot of gravy. Okay? It was called the gravy train. I have no idea. Anyways, it was the most interesting thing I've ever had. But again, I couldn't look a gift horse in the mouth. And, you know, luckily I only took a little bit and gave the rest to my husband. But it's those things, those times that we just don't know. It's stepping into that spirituality. And why I'm sharing that is just, and then I was also gifted a concert last night. I got to go to the F Cancer concert, which had, for, well, most of the people in this room are in my age bracket. So Chilliwack, Trooper, Loverboy, the whole 80s gambit of all those musicians. And they all did that for free last night. And they offered it out to the community. It went from like 7 till 12:30, I think. I was, so I'm, my voice is a little from singing all night long. But there are those things where we don't really expect that alternative way of looking at life. Getting back to that and, where is the and? So Ernest Holmes, he is so good at holding the paradox of creating the genius of and. Oh, I just moved my notes there. It's a popular belief that those who practice this science are a class of people who declare everything is imperfect, when in matter of fact, it is the objective experience of the race that it is not perfect, and indeed, it is far from being perfect. So what am I saying there? I'm saying there's a lot of times that people think that us, as I'll say, we're religious scientists, and that's what are based on our Ernest Holmes, the science of mind, is that we put those rose-colored glasses on, and we just pretend that everything is good when it's not. But in truth, that popular idea and practice of spiritual science is really a misconception. A religious scientist is not one who assures himself that wrong is right, that evil is good, that limitation is freedom, that bondage is liberty, or that sickness is health. We don't claim that. Our objective in the experience is that illusion, but we make the claim that's behind that material existence, behind the slow and persistent process of evolution there is. As Emerson said, one mind common to all people. We claim that the mind is perfect and we all have access to it. So Ernest understood that we can see from both perspectives and simultaneously that our objectives is and. There is one mind back of all things, and both of these ideas must be held and known in order for us to truly step in and create a world that works for all. So it's holding both of those ideas together. Experiencing, you know, I was thinking about it. I was thinking about how we can experience love, and yet we can experience a broken heart, but yet we're still whole. We can experience being a parent, wanting our children to grow and experience all that life has to offer them, but yet we want to keep them at home, or we want to keep them safe and not let them grow. But both of those, but it's looking for that third way. What is possible for them? If I let them grow and be, where, how do they show up in the world? How do they, you know, make a difference in this world? And or another example is that we hold love and grief at the same time. A lot of us have experienced loss in our lifetime. And yet the thing is, with that grief, we're also, is so courageous because we've loved. We know that we've experienced that grief. We know that we've loved. I want to read something, of course, from Brené Brown, my favorite. But she's actually quoting Pema Chodron. Pema's Chodron's book, The Places That Scare You. She says, and why I'm talking about this is because it's having that compassion for ourselves wherever we are. When we practice generating compassion, we can expect to experience our fear and pain. Compassion practice is daring. It involves learning to relax and allow ourselves to move gently toward what scares us. In cultivating compassion, we draw from the wholeheartedness of our experience, our suffering, our empathy, as well as our cruelty and our terror. It has to be this way. Compassion is not a relationship between the healer and the wounded. It's a relationship between equals. A relationship between equals. Only when we know our darkness well can we be present with the darkness of others, and compassion becomes real when we recognize our shared humanity. And that's that piece. We all have that shared humanity, that piece of holding on to different aspects of life and looking at things how it is or how we want it to be, and yet letting go of that expectation. There's so many times when I want my children, to, as we said, talking about children being home and safe. And yesterday morning, I woke up to a text saying, "Mom, pick up the phone. I'm in a car that flipped." Uh-oh. Right? So there's that love, there's the pain, there's that fear. What the first thing I did, I reached out to my practitioners and said, "Please pray with me. I don't know for the highest and best for my son right now." Luckily, he's okay. Sorry, I don't mean to scare it, but it took me a while because as much as my son is wonderful at saying, "Mom, call me, pick up," but he also forgot to do the second part, "I'm okay, call you in the morning." He was, you know, he wasn't driving. A friend of his picked him up because they were out, and unfortunately she hit a pole and it flipped the car, but everybody was good, everybody was safe. Thank goodness. My son has a little bit of a sore shoulder because he was protecting her dog. Right? I know, right? Protecting those dogs. But there's that peace again. So holding that fear, holding that anxiety, and yet knowing the truth and reaching out to my practitioners and saying, "You know, I believe in this teaching. I know it's going to be good. Help, just pray for the best for right now." And sure enough, it all turned out for the best. But moving forward, science of mind holds a unique perspective that's valuable and necessary to continue. Because of the nature of Ernest Holmes and other New Thought metaphysical teachings, when we study the science of mind, it lends itself to that paradoxical mindset. And that mindset is key to finding that third expansive, inclusive way, which is necessary to the healing and the challenges of the world. And it brings that outer manifestations as a collective into alignment with our inner truth of oneness. It isn't it? The key is in our willingness to stay open and curious. That's what we talked about last week, being curious. And explore the options, because there's endless possibilities. Because if we are one with that one, how is there then not a possibility for us to shift and change, to make a different choice, to tune in and listen to our heart and go, maybe this rather than that. Maybe I could try something new instead of sticking with my old ways of being. And I found that even with my son the other morning, my normal reaction was to jump in my car, rush over to his house. Luckily, I have him on location finder. Hopefully he's not watching this, because and then he'll remember that he let his mother do that. But, you know, instead I took a breath. I stayed calm and reached out. And that was the and for me, because it wasn't my normal reaction to life. So last week too, we talked about that curiosity, about staying curious. I'm curious now. Did any of yourself come up against an idea that you asked yourself, is this true? No. Did we forget about the homework? Oh, no, I get a couple nods, yes. Okay, phew, that's good. Is that it was, we talked last week about the work with Byron Katie, about challenging what we see in our life as, is it true? Is it really true? And the other two questions that she encourages us to ask is, then ask yourself, if we asked ourselves, is it absolutely really true? And how do I react to this thought? How do I react? So is it that taking the breath and relaxing into it and reaching out for prayer? Or do I go into total fix-it mode, which is kind of sometimes the easy to do? And neither is wrong or right. There's no wrong or right in this. It's just noticing yourself and what works for you. And if you decide that's the best option, that's the best option. But it's giving yourself that opportunity. And I like the last question, though, she asks. She says, who would you be without that thought? Who would I be without that thought? Right? And then, so that's always, for me, a tricky one to ask. So there was another story about back in the miner strike of 1984 and 85. Hopefully I'm going to say this right. Correct me. Janet is from England. She might know. Is it Dulles in southern Wales? Do you say it that way? Yeah, I have no idea. Okay, well, that's all right. So we're going with how I'm saying it. It was the longest strike in British history. And what happened was a gay and lesbian group from London ended up donating more money. Here it says £11,000, which I think is like $63,000 in today's terms, back from 1984, to the cause, to the miners, and to their cause than any other fundraiser in the United Kingdom. And they went down along with a minibus emblazoned with the logo LGSM, Lesbian and Gay Support the Miners. Now, as you can imagine, the miners' mindset, so these are miners, I thought it was miners, but it wasn't miners when I first heard the story. The miners, they were in harvesting whatever they were harvesting out of the earth, and the thing is, they had a degree of homophobia that was the norm back then. But here it was, this group of people banded together, and they drove down in this minibus and to this Hackney community transport and camped out in their RV camper van to this bleak mining town in South Wales to present their donations. They actually drove the money down and presented it to the miners. And they were very uncertain of what their welcome would be. But what happened, the events unfolded, and it said so much about being empathetic, to overcome dissonance, and to face common enemies. They told a story about solidarity. They were welcomed with open arms, and it changed so many things about people looking at the world in that and genius. So the last thing I want to say is it's time to put down our old preconceived ideas and step out of our comfort zone. It's time to look at life a little differently and embrace that and. I love this quote by Rumi. He says, in order to understand the dance, one must be still. And in order to truly understand stillness, one must dance. Kind of sounds like one of those koans I talked about last week. And Ernest Holmes says, life is for us today. There will be no change for tomorrow unless we do the change today. Today we're setting in motion the power of tomorrow. Today is God's day, and we must extract from it what of life we are to live. And that was from Ernest Holmes' Creative Mind. So today, each of us has the ability to live our lives from that genius of the and, willing to set down those preconceived ideas, beliefs, the cultural mindsets, childhood patterns, the either or, and step into something brand new. Our teaching has cultivated fertile ground in our thinking to develop that new mindset. And to use that mindset and our unique teaching will truly create and step into a world that works for all of life, including all of humanity, all animals, plants, all of the planet itself. The events of the past decade, including the swift ushering of a new normal with the effects of the pandemic, have all been acting as a catalyst for us to shift away from our polarized thinking into a third way of thinking. It's time to step up, and live from that potentiality and possibility that we know is available through the science of mind. So ends the lesson, and so it is. Thank you.